John chapter 15, verse 11. This is the last of three messages that God gave me earlier this week around Monday. And it was very just simple messages, but powerful. Just the gospel. So many, I think, as preachers, ministers, you get to this place where you want to reach people and you want to, you're always looking for something new, something deep, something that grabs your heart. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's why I'm in the Word and I'm reading. I'm thinking, God, show me something different. But then sometimes it's like God shows you something that you have. You know? And it's better than something you want to see new. It's something that you have. And it's something that you know. And it's just as powerful as anything that's new. And you got to constantly realize that everybody's not saved. And there's a lot of people coming the door, they're not saved. You know, Christians, we need to be fed and we need to be edified. But what really edifies me is when I get to see other people get what I have. That really feeds me. That really makes me want to grow. That gets me excited to see another one and another one. So I thought about that is these three messages starting Wednesday and then this morning, how God's really, I mean, man, this has really fired me up. I'm really excited about it. I want to say something about the song service this morning too. From the very first song that was sung, and then Denise's song, how it tied into the message. But what was really neat was Melissa was sitting here and she said Joy has a song, but I thought she said Jody. So when I come up here and I said, Jody, you got a song, right? And Jody looked at me like, yeah. Well, I did not know it, but somebody else had asked her to sing a song that was on their heart and wanted to be sung. So then it like connected, but we didn't do the connection. But it went with the message so perfect that I thought until after I come back and sit down, and Melissa said, I said, Joy. And I was like, well, I heard Jody. I think God overruled that one. But anyway, I just think, ain't that not, so? I mean, if you were here this morning, if you just listened to how that tied together in that song, I mean, that was perfect, right? I mean, I don't know. I think I've gave you enough time to get to John 15:11. You're going to hear my favorite. This was my favorite verse when I first got saved. I'd like to tell you that it's still my favorite verse, but I've got so many favorites now. That it's not, I mean, I love this verse. It still means a lot to me. But I probably put this on everything. When I first got saved, I put it on everything. I got it on a Bible cover. I've got it wrote on stuff. When I first got saved, I mean, this verse, John 15:12 was my favorite verse. It's still a real strong verse to me. But, God, there's so many now. You know what I mean, after you read. But it was my very first verse that I fell in love with. And I'm just glad that God's given us opportunity to preach it tonight. Go up to verse 11 first. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you do this, if you go back and look in the Bible, you've got John 14. It starts right there at the very beginning of John 14:1. Goes all the way through John chapter 15, all the way over till John chapter 17. If you notice, all that's red letter, all right? And just do a look at it, and you wonder sometimes if your joy's not full. If your joy's not full, go back and read these and start to implement the things that are written there, and I guarantee your joy cup will start to fill up and run over. Amen. A lot of times we don't know what to do when our joy cup's empty, but God give us a book, and it's a letter written to us by Jesus and actually His words that, hey, if I start to feel low, joy and happiness are two different things, but joy should remain no matter what's going on. I mean, even if you're sailing through the darkest seas of life, joy should still remain. because there's, you know, Jesus Christ. There's a hope in Christ. You know in your spirit that you're saved. I have seen some of the most awesome people in the world go through the hardest times in life with the joy of Christ. No tears running down their face. Let's go a little bit further than that. They'll cry so much that they can't cry anymore. Do you know that situation, right? Where you would cry, but you're all cried out. But joy still remains. Amen? You can't explain it. You can't tell somebody. They just see it in your life. So if your joy, if you say, well, my joy is low, praise God, go in here and read John chapter 14, John chapter 15, because the great thing about the book of John is that it tells you who God is or who Jesus is as God. And you have access to all of that. Amen. You have access. That's why when somebody as a new believer, they say, what book should I read? I always say the Bible. But if I'm being specific, I tell them it wouldn't hurt you to start in the book of John. And they say, why? And I said, one, it tells you who you are, but it also tells you who Jesus is for you now. Amen. If you're saved, this is who you are, and this is who Jesus is for you now. And even if a lost person says, what should I read? I say, look at the book of John. And they say, well, I say, you won't be able to understand all of it, but maybe you'll be able to see who Jesus is in it. Amen. He says stuff like this, and I'll just give you a cut. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Amen. I like to tell people this all the time, and I know I'll get off, but guess what? I'll get back to it. I like when he says, I'm the vine, because guess what? Christianity, you might want to write this down, Christianity's an inside job. It is. It's an inside job. It's not an outside thing. Before I got saved, I kept telling people, I'm going to get my life straightened out. Amen? I'll get my things together. I'll get my life straightened up for God. No, guess what? God hooks you up on the inside. He's the vine. You're the branches. That thing comes from within. You getting better comes from within. It don't come from without. I love that. Amen? That's why I never say this. I'm trying to be a Christian. I ain't trying. I is one. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. I am one. Well, somebody said, well, you ain't perfect. I didn't say I was perfect. I said I'm a Christian. I've got the hookup. I've been grafted in. Christ is in me, and I'm in Him. He is the vine. I am a branch. Praise God. You can't tell where one meets the other. I guarantee you, go out there and try to look at a vine and branch. Tell me where they met at. Amen? You can't tell. Guess why? Because they're in each other. And it runs deep. Amen? Oh, never mind. I'm not even supposed to be over there. I just wanted you to get that. I love it. I love it when God takes over my message. Hey, man, I wouldn't want to come in here all the time and just preach everything I got. If you did that, you'd be out of your mind. I'm serious. You say, what? No, you'd be out of yours. No, I'd get out of mine quick. Hey, man. But if your joy is low, get in the Word of God and fill up. You'll find out you got more than what you think you do. You'll start to identify yourself as different. Amen? That's what I like. Amen? Let's get in this. This is the verse. Man, I love this. This is so good. This is one of my favorite verses, like I told you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's so good. That's rich right there. I won't have to preach much. This thing will preach itself. Love as I've loved you. For the longest time, the two greatest commandments were this: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Number two is love others as yourself. Amen. That's good, ain't it? That takes care of every one of the commandments, don't it? Because if you get this one right, you won't break any of them commandments. And if you get that one right with people, you won't break the other ones. Amen. If I treat my neighbor as myself, I ain't going to steal from him because I wouldn't steal from myself. I wouldn't take his wife because I wouldn't want nobody to take mine. I wouldn't covet his boat because guess what? I wouldn't want nobody coveting mine. God, I'm just preaching. It'll be all right. It won't hurt you none. Amen? But that's not what this verse says, and that's why it's so exciting. He doesn't say love them as yourself. It's even a greater challenge. He says love them like I loved you. What? No, I didn't. Did you? I read it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Because some of us can get off the hook every once in a while and start loving people how we learn to love by some of our dysfunctional family and friends. Amen? That's why God put it in here. Don't love them like you want to love them sometimes, like you learn to love sometimes. I want you to love them like I loved you. God, it's a tough call, ain't it? That's a tough one. You know why? Because he says, hey, this how Jesus loved. He forgave before somebody asked him to forgive. Ooh, sorry. I hate just going full on open heart surgery on the first one, don't you? I mean, I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I don't like cracking chest on the very first word, amen? But guess what? We're already in surgery now. Too late. Scalpel, please. Amen? Forgive. Amen? Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. That'll get people saved. That'll get people saved. I've seen people who got divorced in their life who've forgiven their spouse who's left them and hurt them and broken them. Amen? Who are you praying for? I see you praying for them. I'm praying for my ex-husband. Well, that old dirty dog. Yeah. That old dirty dog. He needs to get saved. Amen? My wife, she let, her. I know you ain't supposed to preach about divorce in the church. I know. We all pristine. I know we can't touch real life subjects. We should just, cook us up some cotton candy and pour some drizzle over it and just have cotton candy and fluff all the time. When you start forgiving people, people will start knowing you got Christ in your life. If you can forgive somebody like that who's hurt you in ways that you never thought you could be hurt, lonely beyond lonely, scared beyond scared, didn't know what's going to happen, didn't have any hope, didn't thought, man, how am I going to make it? My reputation's been ruined. I'm embarrassed. But you know what? I find myself praying for them because they need the peace of God just like I do. That's amazing. Forgiving people when they hurt you, when they say stuff on purpose to break your heart. Usually family members. People know exactly what button to push in your family. Probably your brothers or sisters. Maybe somebody that knows that they're conniving and they're working their way trying to get stuff in the family and they're trying to hurt you and you're over there like, man, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. I want you to get saved. They're over there conniving, seeing how they can get mom and dad in them's house, trying to get that other lot of land, wondering if they're going to get the car inherited to them. And you're over there praying for God to get in their life where they'd be happy without that stuff and happy with Christ Jesus. It baffles them. They're sitting there going, "No, why ain't you worried about the material stuff? I ain't worried about the material stuff because the material stuff's going to rot. Our souls are not." Going into workplaces where people made fun of you and criticized you for being a believer and holier than thou and a holy roller and somebody who won't participate in the gossip and the sex and the drug and the lying and taking drugs and cheating the company, and they've made fun of you, but you're over there praying for them anyway when they're going through the worst times in their life, and then they come by your desk every once in a while and say, "If you don't mind, pray for me." You just forgive them. Forgiveness will get people saved. You say, how do you know? Because it started at the cross. There was a man hanging on a cross and he heard him. I guarantee the man didn't have no plans of getting saved that day until he heard it come out of the Savior's voice. Forgive him, Father. I believe it shocked his heart and his mind. He said, how in the world has somebody's been going through what he's been going through? He's innocent, I'm not. And he's forgiven. I need some of what he's got. That'll get people saved. I guarantee you, in this culture, in this community, in this time, you start forgiving people and people will listen to what you have to say about Jesus. Can I tell you this, though? If you don't forgive, you're going to have a hard time winning people to the Lord. If you're walking around bitter, angry, and hung up all the time, just pouring out your bitterness and your anger on everybody, praise God, guess what? You ain't going to win nobody to the Lord. Most people are going to run from you instead of to you. And let me tell you this while I'm right there. If you're angry and bitter all the time, as many people as you hurt, amen, the one person you're hurting the most is you. That's the worst poison there is for somebody, is bitterness and unforgiveness in your own heart. Yeah, I mean, you want somebody to pay the price, but the only one really paying is you. It'd be about time for you to break the keys out and unlock the prison to your own cell. It'd be nice for you to reach around like Barney Fife, grab the keys off the wall, open the door, walk out and say, I didn't realize I'd kept myself locked up for so long in unforgiveness in the own prison, amen. I'm glad I finally got out. And when you get out, you'll be able to tell somebody about Jesus and they'll believe you. He forgave. And he touched. He touched people that nobody else wanted to touch. Church, we better be careful. We better be careful, church. Because we're willing to touch people that are clean. We're willing to touch people that are neat. We're willing to touch people that we associate with. But Jesus came to touch the people that nobody wanted to touch. He touched the leper. He touched the blind. He touched the unfranchised, the people that are on the outside. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to see the ones that nobody else wanted to touch. Church, we better be willing to get ourselves a little bit dirty. There's some people that are hurting in this world, and all they need is somebody to touch them. And I'm not talking about by the hand. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm talking about sitting down next to somebody in their mess and saying, listen, you can come out of this. Listen, I've seen people sitting in the worst pits of life, drug addiction, all kinds of pain and heartache, family trauma, rape, molestation, everything else, and they'll say, how do I get out? They don't need a Christian standing up saying, come up here. They need a Christian, hallelujah, to climb down in the pit, get down there with them and say, I'll help you climb out. Because I've climbed out of this pit before by the help of Christ, and I believe He can help you out of it too. Amen. Most Christians, we don't want to act like this world out there ain't as bad as it is. And if we can come in here and sing beautiful music and keep clean, we'll be all right. No, there's a dirty world out there, and we need to be in it. Amen. We need to be involved in it. You mean we need to be doing it? No, we need to be the one shining a light in a dark place. And if you ain't, nobody else ain't gonna shine it. And you've heard me say that a million times in here. If we're not willing to touch the lost of the lost, we're just having pep rallies and we ain't ever playing the game. I want to play the game. I want to go out there and get involved in people's lives. And can I go ahead and yes, I think I can. Listen, I want to say this. If they do come here, when they come here, broken people, listen, these altars are going to be a place of refuge. They're going to be a place of refuge. Now, wait, I want you to write this down, and you better slow down and hear me. Praise God. Don't be thinking three thoughts ahead of me. I'm preaching, amen? Listen, I want you to hear this word. If there's broken people in the house of God, every once in a while, they're going to come up here and do business with God. And you know what? They might pull everything they got out to God, and it's going to get ugly. And they might have to come again and again and again and again. Guess what? They're meeting with somebody. They're meeting with God because the problems that they have, we can't fix. That's what's wrong with the church today. We forgot how to pray through. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. But guess what? Hey, some things that are in your life that God wants to work out. And that takes a couple of trips. Amen. You might have to come a time and again. You might have to come and stay a while. And you say, well, that could get time consuming. Why don't they do that at the house? Praise God. They're in the house. They're in the house of God. Amen. And if they can't do it here, where can they do it? I'm going to be honest with you. You want to tangle with me, I'll tangle with you on this one. This is emergency room. This is a hospital. Broken people come here. And the people that are broken need this more than anybody else. You say, well, at the hospital they got nurses and doctors. Yeah, our nurse and doctors, every one of us have been sick too. Hey man, we had to go to the same physician they did. I love that about a hospital, amen. You got all kinds of people work there, but every one of them susceptible to being sick. That's good preaching. He'll touch somebody. He's humble. Amen. He's humble.
He didn't ask too much of the people around him. He was righteous and holy, but guess what? He didn't expect too much of the apostles and disciples and lost people. You better not be the one up here and they're down here. We're not about rubbing elbows. We're not about titles, offices, or places. I never have been or will be, and nor will you. It don't matter if we got a corner office. It ain't got to matter if we got a title. It's about broken people. Every building we build, every vehicle we run, every carpet we lay, every chair we get is to put a lost person in it where they can come to understand who Jesus is. It ain't about us anymore. It's not about us. It's about lost people. It's about feeding the ones that are saved and getting edified and going out of here and finding lost people. I tell you right now, if you're one of them people that's got saved and you're on fire for God, people in this world want to see that now. Somebody said, well, nobody wants that old fashioned. Listen, people want the real thing. They don't want to come to church and get hurt and get caught up in a bureaucracy and come down here and hear about our complaints and this and that and other. They want us to say, hey, we found some bread here. It's Jesus. It's good. Here, have a piece. And they'll sit down beside you, all kinds, and eat just right along with us. And the next thing you know, before too long, they won't be eating with you. They'll be working with you. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Jesus likes to convert people. He likes to change the worst of the worst into the best of the best. He touched them. He's humble. He's sacrificed. I'm going to skip on down one. You won't mind, do you? He told the truth in love. This is my favorite. Amen. There's a church movement going on across the world, and there's this icky, weird love thing going on, and I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. Amen. We just love you, brother. We're just going to love you no matter what. Listen, love is good. Amen. Amen? And somebody can tell you whether they love you or not. But sometimes you got to love people in the truth. Amen. If you continue in this situation, it's going to cost you. Amen. It's going to hurt you. It's going to kill you. And if it's bad enough, it's going to separate you from God for eternity. Stop doing it. Amen? You need to repent and give your heart and life to Christ. This is the time to get out of that mess. Listen, telling somebody you love them and letting them remain in their mess doesn't mean you love them. It means you're scared and you hate them. Whoo! Man, it got awful quiet in here on that deal. Scared and you hate. Because if you're willing to let somebody die and go off into eternity just where you won't hurt their feelings, you don't love them, you hate them. Amen? Now listen, I'm being honest with you. Do you build rapport with people? Yes. Do they know you care about them? Yes. Will you hurt their feelings sometimes? Yes. But let me tell you something. If they know you're telling the truth, I've told some people some very hard things in my lifetime. I have told some people that I care about deeply that they're doing the wrong thing. They've looked at me and said, Kevin, I don't agree with you, but I know you've told me in love. Amen? But I've told them the truth. And that covers the spectrum of sin, friend. And I'm talking about everything in between. Sometimes you just got to tell them the truth. Now, can we go a step back? If somebody does the right thing, encourage them. Love them. Go by and shake their hand and say, man, that was awesome. Amen. If they're doing the right thing, if they're toting Christ and telling people about Jesus, man, jump on board. If somebody makes it to the house of God and you know they're as lost as a goose, go. We appreciate you being here. Amen. But don't ever, I'm being honest with you, there's people out there that need to hear the truth, and I know this is hard to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow. But when I was in sin and somebody told me the truth, I already knew I was in a mess. They didn't really have to tell me. It just exposed it again to me that I might get saved. I'm being honest with you. I already knew it, and there's a lot of people in the world today, they know it too. They just need somebody that cares about them to not only say you're in a mess and you're going down the wrong path and you can end up in a place called hell, but let me help you get out of this mess. I'm not here just to condemn you. I'm here to help you. If you want the help, will you get cursed out? Yeah. Will you get left? Yeah. Will they say terrible things about you? They will. But can I say one more thing to you? In eternity, wouldn't it be good if Jesus said, thanks for telling them?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be all right if you were standing before the judgment seat of Christ and God said, hey, you done your part, you can't win them all, but you did what you could? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. What would be worse than that is that I don't know if God will let us do this. He probably won't. But wouldn't it be terrible if you had to see one of them people walk off into eternity and then turn around and look at you and say, why didn't you ever tell me? What are you going to tell them? I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I didn't want to embarrass you. I was scared that you might hate me. Jesus was hated sometimes because he told the truth.
Amen.
That's a hard one to say, isn't it? That's a hard one. Because you get in this world today we're living in, when you tell somebody the truth, you're borderline hate speech now.
Amen.
You are border. We're out of the safe spaces. Amen? But the truth's the only thing that's going to set you free. And ain't nobody listen. I want y'all to leave here and you think, well, listen, I want you to know this. I love lost people. I have crawled in many of people's mess because many of people crawled in my mess. I have sat on many a concrete sidewalk in the dirt, in the grass with people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol beyond measure. And cried with them and wept with them and told them hard truths and say, hey, I can help you get up and get out of here if you want to get out of this mess. I've had some cuss me out. I've had them threaten me, told me they was going to whoop me, kill me, stab me. And I said, I get it. But I'm still here if you need me.
Amen.
And you know what? A few of them are out there still sober 4, 5, 6 years now still. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, all you got to run a line of truth. You all right? Let's go back and let's get this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Jesus gave them very many examples of how to love. But he said, love like I've loved you. And I've given you some examples tonight of how he loved them. There was so many different examples throughout the scriptures. Let's go down. I want to get one more verse in before we're done. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his own life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 16 is one of the most important verses you'll get, especially if you're saved.
Amen.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I want you to get this before you leave here. Now I'm preaching to somebody right now who's saved and you're working in ministry and you're wanting to see souls saved and lives changed. This is what I want to share with you tonight before we close. This verse is very important. God chose you and God ordained you. Not a person.
Amen.
Not a man. Not a body of this or a body of that or a governing body. Jesus Christ chose you.
Amen.
Now we're talking about salvation, but we're talking about calling right here too. You need to write that down. When somebody says, I don't know why you get to do this, or I don't know why you get to that, do that, you need to remind yourself that God chose you. And if that's good enough, that's good enough. Say, it's too many people trying to climb ladders of success in ministry. I want you to hear this. If it started with God, you can't get no higher than that. You have to come down to meet anybody. So if God's called you and chose you, do what he has told you to do.
Amen.
And listen, I want you to get this. Well, when do I stop? You don't. When I hit an obstacle? When I hear the word no? Or when a door shuts in my face? No! What you do when a door shuts in your face? Start looking around for the door that is open. And if you don't find a door, jump through a window. I'm just kidding. I'm telling you the truth. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes God, He don't open certain doors for you because in your mind, you think that's the next progression and God wouldn't send you that way at all because that's not who He wants you to work with. He wants you to work with the people that He wants you to work with where He gets the credit, He gets the honor, and He gets the glory. I'm preaching to somebody. Maybe one will get this. You can sit there and pry on the door all you want to. If God ain't wanting you to walk through that door, you ain't going to. I used to think, man, I want to fit in this group. I want to go with this group of preachers. I want to be in this kind of ministry. And I couldn't get the door open to say nothing. Turn around, there's a door over and a man standing there going, come on in, we need the work. We need the workers. Come on in. We need you. Amen. And it was so easy. It's like walking through a door, an open door. Some of you wrestle and fight trying to do something that you thought it was going to do instead of just waiting on God. Amen. I love that. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit. Now listen to this. If God's called you and He's ordained you to do something, it will be fruitful. It will be. That's not an if, it will be. That means lives will be changed. Souls will be saved. Amen? And you might not ever get a lick of credit for it. And who cares? And who cares? As long as you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Amen. Nobody might not ever know that you are there. But the people you've told about Christ. The ones you've ministered to. But I guarantee you, if you've done it right, I used to think about this all the time. Man, about 20 guys. Man, about 20. Here we are in the church. Man, but if we reach every one of them, and they reach somebody, and they reach somebody, and they reach somebody, what if somebody ministered to Billy Graham? Somebody said, hey, Jesus loves you, Billy, and you need to get saved. And he said, all right. You know what Billy Graham did? He just reached about all around the world. Hey, man. Hey, you just keep ministering. And you say, well, who's more important, Billy Graham or the guy that ministered to him? Neither one. They're all working for God, but ain't that pretty cool? Wouldn't that be neat to say? Man, Billy Graham won millions. I told Billy about Jesus. Amen? Amen. But then somebody had to tell him or her. Amen. Somebody had to tell him and her. Wow. Some world, my ministry. If you tell one, you don't ever know what's going to happen. If you walk it out in front of one, it matters. Your greatest ministry will start at home. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, whatsoever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let me tell you something. God is an amazing God. You say, well, I don't always get what I want. You get what you need. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll be honest with yourself, when you really get in a need situation with God, He'll bring in what you need. And when you lined up with God, a lot of times we get in prayer. They was in the bulletin this morning was an awesome quote by Spurgeon. Do you have it still? Let me see that thing. And I'm gonna close. Everybody stand. I'll close with this. I'm gonna read this. If I can read it without my glasses. True prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. Do you know that? Sometimes the best thing you could ever do is just cry out to God and say, God, hear my heart. He knows your heart. He knows what you want to do. Because sometimes we like to pray like we're going to impress God. Amen? Instead of praying and waiting for God to impress on our hearts what He wants to do. I prayed for many things and got a no answer. I prayed for many things and got a not a yet answer. And I've got some that are yes answers because my prayer lined up with what God's doing. Amen? And if you'll listen to God sometimes, you'll stop praying against His grain. Amen? Because God's got a plan, and we ain't changing that plan. But if we'll get in tune with that plan, sometimes you can ask the things, and God will say, yeah, I need that. I want that to happen in your life. Amen? So if you're lacking something, lacking some opportunities, lacking some doors to come open, lacking some wisdom on what to do next, trying to climb some kind of ladder, trying to get something done, why don't you come up here and say, God, here's what I'm trying to do, but why don't you do what you're going to do in my life? Because He's called you and He's ordained you.
Amen.
Two things tonight for the minister or the person in here that are trying to run a ministry or trying to be an effective minister of the gospel unto people, or it's always an effective gospel ministry. That's for you. He's called you and He's ordained you. Just stand in it and do it.
Amen.
The other part is we have got to start loving like we've been loved. Amen? By Jesus. As they come and get a song.